Okay, we're going to be honoring mothers here. We're going to be hearing from a couple of our moms. And we want to acknowledge that motherhood is a special calling. And that moms are uniquely designed. And they're to fulfill a mission that God has given them. And in Proverbs 23:25, it says, "May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." A mother's love is a gift, God's gift to all of us. And, you know, mom makes significant contributions to the children. And it's a lifetime. Sometimes you think, okay, they're 18 years old, they're out of the house. Mom is still giving and giving to their children all throughout her life. And, you know, one thing that's unique about mom is that when she loves her children, even before they're born, and she just continues to do it for all of her life. And being a mom has so many blessings and challenges. And so as we talked about, it can be a difficult day, and especially if you've lost your mom or you've not been able to have a child. But the thing is that God really wants to redeem this time here this morning. He wants to make a redemptive for us and realize that we can celebrate Mother's Day, and we can realize that God wants to come and he wants to meet us right where we're at. So whether mom is raising children at home or has grown children, or has careers or families of their own, the love of the mother never ends. With mothers giving so much in so many ways, we want to say thank you. There's no love like a mother's love. A mother's love is significant and it's powerful, and we want to celebrate that. That's important. So we have two speakers speaking this morning, and our first mom who is sharing is Kelsey Stessman. So, Kelsey, why don't you head on up here? Kelsey grew up in Goshen. She went to Fairfield High School and attended college at IU and IUSB. Kelsey and her husband, Mark, have been married for almost 4 years. Mark and Kelsey have two daughters. Ella is 2 years old, and Joselina is 6 months. Kelsey has many interests and hobbies, such as playing volleyball, family walks, camping, baking, and crafts, when she can actually find the time. Kelsey, you find time for that every once in a while. You try. Okay. Kelsey is a co-leader for MOPS. The MOPS group is on the MOPS steering team. And Mark and Kelsey coordinate the Sunday morning prayer team. Let's welcome Kelsey Stessman. All right.
Happy Mother's Day. I am honored and have great joy being up here because for as long as I can remember, I have always wanted to be a mom. So I'm very blessed to be up here speaking to you as a mom today. So like Jim said, that's me in a very small nutshell. I have a couple pictures of my family that I want to show you. The first one is my parents, and they're actually here today, Larry and Kim Krylo, and my younger brother, Spencer. So this is at my older brother's, Preston, his wedding this past August, and his wife, Courtney. And then my husband, Mark, and Ella. And then our next picture is a few more people. This is the Stutzman clan. And this picture, there's some spots in the picture. I don't know why it scanned funny, but there's 9 kids in their family, and my husband is number 6 in the lineup. So this picture was almost 2 years old. And 2 years ago, we took it, and so since then, we've added 4 new babies, 1 baby on the way, not me, but 1 baby on the way, and then a brother-in-law in less than 2 weeks, Brock and Hani, are getting married, and then this weekend we found out another sister-in-law, so we just keep growing. And then this is my husband, Mark, Joselina, and Ella, and real quick how Mark and I met, it started in 7th grade. My friend went to elementary school with Mark, and we were looking through her photo albums, and I saw a picture of him, and I said, "Who is that kid?" And she said, "Oh, that's the neighbor boy, Mark." And I said, "I knew. He was going to be my boyfriend someday." And I said, "He's going to be my boyfriend." She said, "No, he's had a girlfriend for a really long time. It's not going to happen." And I said, "No, he's going to be my boyfriend." And then later I found out he was good friends with my cousin, and he always told my cousin, "I'm going to marry her." So, God dad was working on it a long time ago. But we met in junior high, and then we were friends throughout high school. And then my senior year, I finally had to ask him out because he was a little scared, I think. I was a year older, so it was intimidating. So, yeah, we started dating my senior year, his junior year. And we dated for about 5 years, and we got married in May of 2010, and then had Ella in November 2011, and then Josephine in November 2013. So, yeah, and Ella and Josie have been fun to watch. Ella is spunky, I like to call her. She's full of personality and keeps us busy. And Josie is just a smiley little thing, so they're perfect because Ella likes to talk, and Josie likes to smile, so they entertain each other for a while, so it's good. But this morning, I am going to talk to you about just a few things that I've learned since I've been a mom, and how those things reflect God's love for us, His children. So, yeah, it's kind of like God showed me that it's... So we love our kids, and He loves His kids. So it's kind of like a mirror reflection that how we love is a reflection of His love. But His love is like one of those magnifying mirrors that you would pick your face at. And that's how His love comes, because He loves us so much greater than we even love our kids, which is amazing. But His love is magnified for us. So I'm going to talk about five loves that I've learned. So the first love is called sacrificial love. And we learned this one pretty quick after having Ella. Before kids, we had all the time, you know, we could go do stuff with our friends. We didn't have to be back at a certain time. One time we were like, oh, let's go camping. And we left within an hour. Like, you could just kind of do whatever. And then we had Ella, and it was like, oh, things can't happen like we did before. So it was a sacrifice of our free time that we used to have. But I'm totally okay with that. Because when I spend time with my kids, I'm creating a relationship and a bond with them. And I'd much rather do that than have my own free time of just doing whatever. And that's exactly how God feels about us. He wants relationship with us. He wants it with Him. And He's not up there and we're down here doing our thing. He comes to us. He made that sacrifice on the cross to bring back the relationship that was broke in the garden with Adam and Eve. He's here. He sent His Spirit so we could have relationship with Him here on earth, which is amazing. He's with us every day, every minute, wanting that relationship. So that one is sacrificial love. My next love is nurturing love. And when we were little, and even actually when I was older and, like, out of high school, every time I got sick, my mom would say, oh, Kelsey, I'm so sorry you feel like that. I wish it was me and not you. And I'd sit there thinking, you are crazy. You do not want to feel like this. Like, I'm miserable right now. And she can't really mean that. I would never say that to her, but I would lay there and think that, like, what? She does not know what she's talking about. And then I had Ella, and she got sick for the first time, and I thought, she was right. I know exactly what she was talking about. Anytime my kids are sick, I'm like, oh, Lord, let it be me and not them. But, the cool thing about God is He wants to do the same thing for us, to take on our sicknesses, our hurts, our problems. He wants to do all that. But He can, He's willing, and He's able to do that still today. At one time, I was pressing in for a personal healing in my life, a physical healing, and overnight, He supernaturally did it. And so that really showed me, like, God really does still heal. And then in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Jesus, who healed back then, did all these miracles. If He's the same yesterday in the past, then He's going to be the same today. He's that same Jesus who did all that. And He's going to be the same in the future. So that's just really encouraging to me to know He's always the same consistent God. So that one is nurturing love. My next love is patient love. I learned this pretty quick after having kids, too. I was reading a book, Danny Silk's book, Loving Your Kids on Purpose, and it talks about having a heart-to-heart connection with your kids and treating them how God would treat us, like mimicking His, how He treats us, how we mimic that to our kids. And as I was reading that, I was like, oh, do I act like that always to them? And so in 1 John, it says, God is love. And then you go to 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, God is, and all the stuff, or love is, da-da-da-da-da. So if God is love, then you can fill God's name in the blanks of love. So I'm going to read it like that. So God is patient, God is kind. He does not envy, He does not boast, He's not proud. God is not rude, He is not self-seeking, He is not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. And so, let me see here. So the first thing after I realized all that, I was like, oh, am I always patient? Not really. And even quick to anger or what any of those things. And so since I read that book, it really convicted me of I'm not always acting out God's love to my kids and even my spouse and the people I'm around. And so whenever I start to feel any of those feelings coming on, I immediately get brought back to that God is all those things. And it really changes my actions into love and how God would treat us. So that is patient love. My next love is trusting love. And this one, Ella will ask me something, and I give her the answer, and she just automatically, okay, and she goes and plays. She trusts me. Mom won't lie. She believes everything I say. And so God wants us to feel the exact same way towards Him. He wants us to know that He is always going to be a faithful, loving, someone that we can trust. Even when we feel hopeless, He is always there for us. One time, Mark and I had, a couple of times, we had a prophetic word spoke over us about something, and so we were really pressing in for this, and we weren't seeing it come true. We were waiting for it to come, and it wasn't coming to pass. We were still believing for it, but it just wasn't coming as fast as we would have liked. And a friend knew about this. She knew the situation, and then she sent me her daily devotional one day, and it basically talked about how we pray for things and then give thanks. So we had the prophetic words that, yes, this is going to happen. That was God's promise to us. Yes, this is going to happen. So we would pray about it, but then instead of keep, please, 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 we were saying, thank you for that coming true before it even came true. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And what it does is it builds trust and it builds faith and it puts our focus on God and not the problem that we're looking at. And so that was actually the most peace that I had during that whole time. And the prayer actually got answered soon after that. So that is my trusting love. And then my last love is called the no strings attached love. And this is all the meals that I've made for my kids, all the diaper changes, all the lack of sleep at night, all the cleaning up the messes. I never once have thought, man, my girls, they're going to owe me for this. They're going to repay me. I've got a reward coming for me. I've never once thought that. I do it because I love them and I want to take care of them and do those things for them. And that's exactly how God wants us to feel towards Him. I'm on the wrong part. Sorry. Yeah, but that's how He feels too. That we don't, there's no repayment in God. We don't owe Him anything. things that we owe him are our choice to follow him and our choice to love him. That's all. And for so long, I thought I needed to owe him through acts and deeds and my actions, like, oh, for all the grace and mercy and forgiveness that he gave me. And then I realized I don't owe God any of, I don't owe him anything. All he wants from me is that choice and to love him. And so, this verse that goes along with it is Ephesians 5, and this is the Message Bible version. It says, watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. So this is the part that really ties into this. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. So that is my extravagant, or my no strings attached love. So, so that's all I have for you. But can I pray a quick blessing over you moms, because you're amazing, and just over the rest of us too. So pray with me. God, I just thank you for all these moms here today. I thank you for all the time and dedication and the sacrifices that they make for their children, Lord. I thank you so much. I just ask that you bless them and that you bless their day. Bring peace and joy to them. Bless their homes. God, I just thank you so much for them and their love. Father, and I ask that you just reveal more of your love to all of us here. That we have more encounters with you, Father, and we just ask that we have that extravagant love that you have, that we can spread to our family, our spouses, our children, and everyone that we're around. Thank you, Father, and bless this day. Amen.
All right. Great job, Kelsey. You know, it's so important. I really appreciate your relationship with Christ. And it's so important to know what kind of a God we serve and what he's like so that we know how to relate with other people. And so thank you, Kelsey, for just imparting that to us. Our next speaker is Trula Thomas. Trula, you can head on up here. Trula Thomas was born and raised in southern Indiana. She met her husband, Richard, at Rosedale Bible Institute 37 years ago, and they've been married and farming together for 35 years in Middlebury, Indiana. They have three grown children. Although Trula does not milk cows on a regular basis anymore, she fills in when needed and loves to be in the fields driving tractor. I like that. She was a church secretary for 22 years and is now currently employed at Master Steel Roofing as an office manager. She also takes care of booking reservations for a local company at Log Cabin Hideaway. In her spare time, she enjoys gardening, yard work, reading, scrapbooking, and organizing things. And anything that involves a power tool, you know, like that. It's cool. Richard and Trula are part of a Ken and Wiry small group. They also serve on one of our Sunday morning hospitality teams. Let's welcome Trula.
Water bottle up here because I've got allergy issues. I'm not as brave as Kelsey, and I actually wrote mine all out, so we'll see how close I stay with Chris Scripp. Good morning. My name is Trula Thomas, as was stated. I'm the wife of Richard Thomas and the mother of four children, three living, Dawn, Sheldon, and Crystal. Crystal is here this morning. And Dawn actually moved to Texas about 4 or 5 years ago, so she is living in that area. First, let me give you a little bit of my background. My parents were Amos and Mary Miller, and I grew up in a Christian home, number 8 out of 10 siblings. Some of you would know my brother, Dallas and Vern. We lived in a southern Indiana town called Odin in Davis County. We attended a small mission church where my parents showed me how to love what would be regarded as the unlovely in today's terms. My parents died within 10 months of each other. Mom on March the 20th of 2002. Dad remarried December 20th, 2002, and died 1 month later, January 20th of 2003. On their tombstones it reads, "He gave and she prayed." My mother was a prayer warrior and prayed for each of its children and their spouses and also for the grandchildren as they came along, which at the time of her death, there were 69 in the Miller family. So ours is a little bit bigger than yours, Kelsey. She would have been kept busy now because now the total is 110, with three more on the way this year. Her prayers were certainly a big part of what helped me get through my first time as a mother. Those of you that are here this morning, that are mothers, know the feeling of how happy you were when you held your little one in your arms the first time. That happy feeling isn't always the feeling when becoming a mother. Sometimes it is in the midst of what I would call chaos that we earn our title of mother. Dave Wells said it best 2 weeks ago, "God is never out of control." We can look back and we can see what God is doing in the midst of chaos. When I was a little girl, it was always my dream to become a wife and a mother. You know the dreams, a white picket fence with a little white house, a husband, and children running around. And for the most part, my dreams became reality, except one thing. These little feet gave me the title of mother on August 14, 1980. The heartache and pain that comes with losing a child wasn't part of my dreams at all. Rich and I were married in August of 1979, and we were so excited to learn that we would be expecting our first child to arrive sometime in November of 1980. But God had other plans for us. On August 14th, our day started out just like any other day. We lived on a dairy farm, so my morning started out by helping milk the cows and feeding the baby calves. During our morning devotions, I commented on how active the baby was that morning. I was 6 months along, and everything was going smoothly. I was getting ready to go to devotion when I had a severe pain in my lower back. Thinking I had pulled a muscle, I made my way to our chiropractor, and he checked things out. And then told me, "Trula, I'm sorry, but I think you were in labor." When we arrived at our doctor, they could hear a heartbeat, but sent me by ambulance to the hospital since I was in active labor. Way too early for a baby to be born and survive, especially in those days. By the time we got to the hospital, they could not get a heartbeat anymore, so I laid there all afternoon, knowing that I would deliver a baby that wasn't going to be alive. This certainly was not a part of my dream that I had planned. We delivered a 1-pound, 14-ounce baby girl that we named Carmelita. She was perfect. 10 little fingers and 10 little toes. Back then, we didn't take pictures like they do these days, and I certainly didn't know that I would be delivering a baby when I left the house that morning to just make a quick trip to the chiropractor. So I grabbed a camera. So her image is just what I can remember in my mind. It was really hard to lay in the hospital and hear all the crying babies in the nursery that night, knowing I would not be taking a baby home with me. We had graveside services 2 days later, and my parents, along with Rich's family, was able to be there with us as we laid our daughter to rest in the smallest little white box I had ever seen. In the days that followed, I questioned God lots of times, asking why, and sometimes really feeling guilty, even questioning God. After all, who were we to doubt that what was happening was all part of God's plan? The verse that came to mind often and quoted to us during that time was, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose," Romans 8:28. That was easy to say, but did we really believe it? Again, Dave Wells stated it best when he said, "Life has to be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards." It was difficult at the time, but I now know why God had me walk that journey. I use it as a ministry today to cry along with those mothers that have lost babies, either as a miscarriage or stillbirth. I can tell them that God will be with them each step of the way. I can tell them I know exactly how they feel, the pain, the empty arms, the crying babies that you hear everywhere you go. The look of sympathy in the eyes of those that tell you that they are praying. The remarks of people saying, oh, you can have other babies. Yes, we may or may not be able to have another baby, but also knowing that another baby will never take the place of the one you have lost. There's a young lady sitting in this audience today. I'm getting emotional here. That I walked with her on her journey. The same journey that I had walked 23 years before. We were both at the six-month mark, and I had just shared my journey of our loss that very morning that she went into labor that evening. She told me later that as she laid there all night in labor, knowing that she too would deliver a stillborn, her thoughts went to us. If Richard Truller could get through this, we can too. When I heard she was in labor, I felt a little guilty that I had shared my story the day before with her. Was it a coincidence that I had shared my journey with her that morning? I don't think so. I know that it was God's timing. And there's another young lady here this morning that recently lost her little one due to a miscarriage. I was able to hug her and tell her how sorry I was and prayed for her daily. I'm choosing to make my journey that God gave me the title Mother the first time to help comfort, encourage, and love those that are walking the journey I have walked. I thank God that He did give me three healthy children. After that, and in fact, our son, Sheldon, shares Carmelita's birthday almost to the hour of when she was born 3 years later. I want to encourage those of you that have lost children to reach out to those that are walking the same road that you have walked. And to those of you that have never walked that road, and don't know what to say, just a hug, and I'm praying for you, goes a long way. I thank God for giving me a mother that loved us and had enough love for all 10 of us and prayed daily for each of us. And now it is my turn to pray for each of my children and their spouses and grandchildren as they enter our family. Remember I had said that Dad had gotten remarried during that 10 months after Mom died? I have gained a very sweet stepmother that we call Grandma Mary because my mom's name was also Mary. We now have another prayer warrior that gained all 110, and soon to be 113, of the Miller family that prays for us. I'm also thankful for a mother-in-law that has taken me in as one of her own and prays for us. And just as a side note here, kind of did a little research. Just in my Miller family alone, there's been 18 miscarriages and stillbirths. I would just like to say that not everyone looks forward to Mother's Day as a joyous day. There are women with empty arms due to miscarriages, stillbirths, infertility, and many other reasons. If you know someone like that, give them a hug and let them know that God cares deeply for them. If you are that someone with empty arms, look around you for opportunities to love on children around you, that you may be the only mother's love that they feel. In closing, I would like to share this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Our plans are not always God's plans, but God's plans are the best plans. Thank you.
Great job, Triller. Really appreciate that. Serving God when we don't understand. We don't understand the reasons why, but God wants to bring good out of situations that we face. And God wants to shower His love on us. And so thank you so much for just imparting that truth to us and how we can still serve God. And when times we don't understand. understand. So thank you very much. Moms, we just want to bless you and just encourage you in any way that we can. And we want to continue just to honor you. And so we have a gift that we would like to give to you. And so I'm going to have the elders come up here, and they're going to stand, and we're going to be receiving a gift. But as we do that, I just pray this blessing over you out of Scripture through Proverbs 31, 28 through 31. It says here, her children stand and bless you. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. And we just want to bless you, moms.
Wow, I just feel like we're on holy ground. Those two ladies sharing was so powerful. I know that many of you were ministered to. No matter what situation you've come through and what your story is, let's stand together. And I'd like to encourage you today, if your mother isn't here in this meeting today but is still living, I'd like to encourage you to bless her. You know, the Bible says that we can love at all times. And we love those, especially that God has placed around her, and I'm sure you have some plans. But especially, I just feel inclined to say, if you have a strained relationship with your mother, go in the opposite spirit of maybe what your natural inclinations would be to avoid, and just love and bless. Love is always appropriate. It's always the right thing to do. It's always right to honor. And again, that verse in Proverbs says we honor, first of all, and maybe simply because they gave us life. And so, but there are many other reasons that I'm sure you have as well. Lord, I just sense again that we're on holy ground here where our lives have intersected your love, whether it was through the joy of being a mother or experiencing children or hearing these stories, but also your love intersected our lives where sometimes it's the most painful. And we thank you that you are a never-failing God, an always-present God. And today we come to you to just say, Lord, we want to put a deep trust in you. And may we leave this place comforted, encouraged, and ready to be, and create world changers that are going to change the world around us. Thank you for this holy time we've had together in Jesus' name. Amen.